Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're on the air with Waking Up with Linda Mac Chan. It is Thursday. We had a good time last Sunday, and we're going to have a better time tonight. It is Thursday, June 10th, and we're back again. We have some great topics that we're going to speak on tonight. We have Gina G coming on with the topic of bullying and relationships. The only way that she does not share with us is if she cannot break away from a mandatory event that she has to host tonight. Otherwise, we're going to have some more fun, some more information. You know, here at Waking Up with Linda Mac Chan, it's not about just getting up out the bed. It is about waking up those brain cells, moving that blood through the body, stepping into your greatness, and staying there. And for your youth out there, I don't want you to be afraid of the dark. You're still held up by the stars. The light will carry us all over. We're happy, bright, and much, much light here. And that's what we do here at Waking Up with Linda Mac Chan. We're going to get rolling. Have a great evening.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up. Time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all.
Our lines are open tonight. Dial in. And that is at 917-889-8015. I have some cohorts, my students in class and in the workshop, said that they were going to call in. The only way that they will be excused from not calling in tonight is if they're doing homework. You see, everybody's in summer school, and summer school takes some discipline, focus, determination, never giving up, and you have to really put the, as they say, metal to the pedal and focus in, because you have short weeks to do what you have to do. You know, most of my associates are in the honor club. I try to keep myself surrounded with those smart people. And, you know, sometimes if you hang long enough, that smartness wears off on you. So for all you young adults out there, everything starts with you. You must forge yourself through your own efforts. I urge each and every one of you to create something, start something, and make a success of something. That is the essence of human existence, the challenge of youth. Herein lies a wonderful way of life, always, always aiming for the future. And keep in mind, you definitely can fry out there. You are Waking Up with Linda Mac Chan. We do not allow our youth to be the walking dead.
Thank you.
I'm out there every day listening to the youth, talking to the youth, finding out what's needed, what's lacking, what are they talking about. And the things I hear most of the time is heartbreaking. So we have a lot of work to do, so we're going to take care of our youth. They have some strange feelings, but we're going to change that.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address in the torn up town, no postcode envy.
But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns stretching the hotel room. We don't care. love affair. And we'll never be royal,
royal.
It's a one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler,
ruler.
Friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party. And everyone who knows us knows
that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money.
But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. Driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair,
and we'll never be royal.
Royal.
It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Ruler.
You know, when you're out there with those young adults, I'm old school. So we mix a little old school with a little new school, and I put surveys out there. Let me know what you want to hear. Also, give us a call at 323-769-5879. That is our Stay in Touch segment. You know, you can call and leave a message, a positive message to someone. So I got a call in this week from Allison to her honey. She said, "We are forever." Rhonda S. to Taylor M. says, "I miss you." And Robert to Angie, "Love you, love you, love you." That is our Stay in Touch line. You see, you have to get out and talk. Give them information. Let them know that they're loved. Let everybody know that they're loved. We all are connected in here together. As we were speaking on Sunday night with Julio Linares, he was talking about that spirituality and connectivity. And Vara Beckham talked about abuse and actually extended families and why that is. And we had Robert to come on, Robert Flores, and he was expressing the importance of body movement and athletic training for young adults to keep that mind clear. See, we do everything here, but the most important thing we do is we give our youth their wings. And in order for them to do that, I tell them each and every day, life is a stretch. You have to be able to rock and roll with it. It's like an ocean, waves up, waves down. And in order to keep it moving, you have to keep rolling no matter what, and to never, never give up on your dreams. So I'm going to play my theme song, and you know what it is. This is what we believe in here.
Every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice and easy. But there's just one thing, you see. We never, ever do nothing nice and easy. We always do it nice and rough. So we're going to take the beginning of this song and do it easy. But then we're going to do the finish rough. Where we do Proud Mary. Rolling
on the river.
Listen to the story now. Left a good job in the city, working for the man every night and day, and I never lost one minute of sleep, and I was worrying about the way the thing might have been. Big wheel keep on turning. Ooh, the Proud Mary keep on burning. And we're rolling,
rolling,
rolling, yeah,
rolling,
rolling on the river,
rolling on the river.
Cleaned a lot of plates in Memphis,
and I
pumped a lot of pain down in New Orleans. But I never saw the good side of the city until I hitched the ride on a riverboat queen.
So the
big wheel keep on turning. Oh, the Proud Mary keep on burning. And we're rolling,
rolling,
rolling, yeah,
rolling,
rolling on a river.
Rolling on the river.
Mary rolling,
rolling.
Keep on.
Waking Up with Linda McShann on this Thursday evening. You know, it is so important to keep the promises made to friends. This is the true meaning of friendship, to become people who can do so. However, we must first learn to keep our resolutions, the promises that we have made to ourselves. And my promise is to buy up the youth, give them their wings, and I need your help out there. You get to do this with me. I'm getting emails that have come in. We have an email, which is lmacnetwork@gmail.com. And these emails have been coming in. I have emails from Sheila, Marilyn, Cassie, and guess what? Those three young ladies are all looking for summer jobs. So you business owners out there, give us a call at 323-769-5879 if you have job openings. Or if you know of someone that has a job opening, our young adults need to work. Also, email us at lmacnetwork@gmail.com. Our youth are out there really, really striving to make it. If you take out time and just speak with at least three every 30 minutes, you will hear the same story. Our work is cut out for us. And, you know, we all have to have each other to do what we need to do. So let's keep reminding each other what we need, okay?
Took one look at you, and it was plain to me you were my destiny.
With arms open wide, I threw away my pride. I sacrificed for you, dedicate my life to you. I'll go where you lead.
Come on, baby.
Always there in time of need.
Oh, heaven, I took the wheel.
Yeah.
You know, our babies out there, starting at birth, they can hear, they can understand, they can also feel love. On Sunday, there is a birthday party going on for a one-year-old. And when I told Chloe that I would join her at her birthday party, she just smiled from ear to ear. And she's not even one yet, but she felt my heart. That goes across the board with everyone that you meet. You give them nothing but your true, pure heart, and you will see things open up. They will share with you. They will let you know what's happening. Let the youth especially know how much we care about them, how great they are. Let them know that they can do anything that they put their minds to. And when you're talking to them, older people out there, give them your heart. Not any type of discipline. Listen to them. They get to get all of our love and all of our care. We don't give them our wings out here. Let's keep going.
Thank you.
there. Get on that train. Be aware. See what's happening. You know, it's a lot of stuff that's going on. It's been going on a long time. But we have capable and courageous and fearless youth out there. And we have to stay on top of them so that we can make a change. They are the change, but we just kind of like have to guide them. We can't do it for them just when they fall down. Be there to point them back into the direction that's positive, that's going to get the job done. But just be aware. Wake up. Step into your greatness so you can pull them with you, and everybody stay there, okay?
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a two big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on.
Stars, and it's the light that will carry us over. So we must stay in our greatness again and always, always remain to be the light. You see, dark things come around. It's okay, but that it just takes a little bit of light to relieve that darkness and that negativity. So if you happy, bright, and light, nothing will affect you. So whatever bumps you run into in the road, you just kind of like shake them out. And remember, the stars will always carry you over. Travel. Travel high. Stay high. Step into your greatness. And stay there. You're on the air with Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan. It is Thursday night. We're going to keep rolling until 9 o'clock. We're waiting for GG to call me. Going into our second hour here with Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan. You know, we have an email here. It is lmack, M-A-C-K, network, at gmail.com. Use that email. Let us know what you want to know. Let us know what you want to talk about. Let us know the type of music that you want to hear. And through these emails, we get information from our youth. As I stated in the first hour, we got an email from three people, Sheila, Marilyn, and Kathy. And all three young adults were looking for jobs. They're looking for summer jobs out there. So, employers, if you have some jobs, email us or give us a call at 323-769-5879. Let us know what's going on. We need to take care of our young adults out here. And I have a caller on the line, and I think it's Gina G. And if it is, you guys are in for a treat. Let's check in. Gina, hello. You're on the air. We're Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan. Who's on the line?
Well, hello, Linda. I know it's been a little while since we had our last little meeting, and so it's so nice to hear from you again.
Yes, and I'm so glad. I told the listeners that you did have an event to host earlier today, and if you could get out of there on time, you'd be here, and you know you are a lady of your word, and we so much appreciate you. I informed them that you will be speaking on bullying and relationships. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because of the way the communities and all across the world and how many things are just really resulting from such negative energy and problems existing from not just our youth, but even some of our adults. And from what I've noticed in the years and in my research of just, you know, watching things develop as they have in the last 25 to 30 years, the bullies, I find that, you see, people seem to think that all bullies are cowards, and they're not. It's not a true entity according to what I feel, because of the fact that a coward is someone that is usually, you know, afraid to put their thoughts or feelings across to someone else. You know, a coward is someone who has problems that they don't know how to relate to or to work through. So, in retrospect, the coward that's hiding behind the bully, because the bully is the one that's fighting to protect the coward. So it really is a way that instead of being afraid, I mean, bullies come across as being strong and forceful to be afraid of them because that's what they want. But when they don't get that fear, they get somebody reaching out to them, that bully turns into a whole different person. See, I was bullied when I was a little girl, and which I speak from experience. And I knew, as I got older, the bullying once kind of subsided before I even got into high school because of the simple fact that I realized something. I realized that they just wanted somebody to be their friend. They just wanted to hear something nice and kind because either something at home was going on that they couldn't do nothing about because it was a child or something that they didn't know how to come out and bring to the parents or the friends or somebody's attention. So they resulted into, oh, wow, I get empowerment when I punch somebody. I get empowerment when I scream out rude words and call people out of their name. I get attention. Now, they don't. Some of them realize that this is not called good, healthy attention, and some of them realize that they know it's not good, healthy attention, but they don't care. And the difference is because a couple of bullies that approached me was calling me names, and I'm so glad I was tall because they didn't really have problems putting their hands on me as much, but they would blurt out stuff. And once I got to the point where I was like, okay, you know, because most people's parents back in the day would tell you, you know, sticks and stones and break a bone, names never hurt you. Well, that's not true because names do hurt. So the words do hurt, and they did hurt, and but they also caused me to go, you know, I'm not this, what they're calling me. I'm not that. That's not me. So they're trying to picture me as this, so this is what they call me. But that's not my problem. It's their problem, not mine. And I, being a child at the time, I just, I don't know how to help this, you know. I just know I can stay away or let this person maybe see what kind of person I am. Maybe that'll turn their viewpoint about me around, which I end up doing. And they ended up trying to put their hand up, hey, can I be in line to be your friend? So there's a way to, and I know through all my life I found bullies on jobs, bullies socially. I see them. They're all over in all sets of locations and things because their bullies exist because they want to be seen and heard. And sometimes they don't know how to go about going to something nice. Hey, how you doing? You look beautiful today. Got a question to ask you. Instead of going, you da-da-da-da-da-da, you da-da-da-da-da, you know, they want to hear. They want to have a reason to scream. You wore that yellow shirt, and it looks really terrible. You look like a prune, you know. Instead of going, you know, hey, You like wearing bright colors. Okay, that's your choice. You know, it got my attention, so now I got a question to ask you. Or I got a situation I want to discuss with you. No, I don't want to know that somebody else has a problem just as bad as mine or the same as mine. So to keep that's my own personal business. I'd rather just be mean and stubborn and try to, you know, I'm the boss. Just because I'm the boss, you do as I say. Just because I am the owner, you do as I do or do as I say. You know, just because some of these bullies, and yes, there are bullies that are in power positions, because of their ability to emulate leadership skills, they sometimes confuse that with the reality of how another person may feel based on how they are treated by you, by them. So, yeah, I really would hope that those bullies that are out there, you know, that you really, if you really are crying out for help, you know, find that person that you trust, because you have trust issues. Bullies have trust issues because of how either they were treated as a child or how they had a friend and this friend betrayed them, or they had this relationship and this relationship betrayed them. So then you have these scars of your own that has nothing to do with this innocent new bystander coming into your life or just coming around you. You know, putting up a bullet and want to shoot somebody that you don't even know because you're mad at the situation. So, you know,
right.
Let's turn that around. Put the bullets and things down. Use the words that God put into you to use. You don't even have to know what words they are. Just say, hey, I need to say something. Give me some time to get it out. But I need to say something. Okay. You'll find a lot more people want to hear what you got to say and are willing to help you. Because we all want to get along. We all want to be within peace with each other. Because just like you're having a moment where you're angry and mad about a situation, guess what? That same person that you're screaming at and hurting and badgering, they got pains and hurts and pains and hurts that are that they're trying to work through too. They just don't. They're trying to find other ways and means to get it resolved than hitting someone or calling someone out of their name. Because there's two things that the bullies leave behind. Verbal scars, they last so long. There are people who have verbal scars from when they were kids to their adult life. There are physical scars. The physical scars, once they heal and the pain is gone, the situation sometimes, not all the time, sometimes it's kind of forgotten, but it's totally brought back as soon as someone notices a friend or a family. Where'd you get that scar? What happened out here? What happened? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. The minute you look there, the whole situation comes back. So it can come back and relive in our life and can haunt us. So instead of pain begetting pain, bullies, please, let us reach out and help you. Just as much as you're trying to reach out, we want to help you too. Because all we want to do is try to get along in this world. And, you know, that's the way God intended it, for us to get along. That's why he created it for all mankind, not this race, not that color, not this culture, not that, this. The whole world belongs to God, and he gave it to us. So it belongs to all of us. So all this fighting over this piece and that piece and this politic, this thing, it's really just somebody want to puff out some air and say, I'm a prominent person, listen to me, because I'm smarter than you, and I went to college, or I studied this, or studied that, and you see, God didn't have I in mind when he put people on this earth.
No.
He had unity.
That's right.
In mind.
That's the word,
so,
Gina G, that's
so that's
the
what
word.
I wanted to say out to my bullies out there.
Well, let me ask you, and I'm listening, and I'm trying to think back in my childhood. I guess there was bullies around, but then again, because of my, I can say, my breeding, the basics that were given to me, they didn't really bother me because I had no fear of them. And so what bullies get empowered when they can frighten you. And the word to me as a child is, okay, if you get out there and get into it, and if you come home with your dress torn off of you, the other person better be lying on the ground. So I came up with a different type of upbringing. So even if I were approached with a bully, I don't think I gave it back to them, but I could get them off of me because of, hey, if I have to get into it here, we're going to get into it, and I cannot go home with my dress torn off of me and you not be lying on the ground. So the word bully to me is sort of like a new thing, because in the area that I grew up in, being a southerner and out of Texas, it's all about respect there. So you learn that at an early age, and it's like you either respect or you got a problem on your hand. So we didn't have a lot of bullying. I didn't really get acclimated to that until, you know, I moved west. And, you know, mm-hmm. listening to the young adults and stuff, it really didn't sink in. But, you know, now it is a big thing, and you know, and the young adults and the children, and they're being bullied at school. And I taught for a Head Start program in Altadena, and mm-hmm. I had a diverse classroom. And, you know, there was a young African-American young boy that came in, and his brother would bring him to school every day. So I mm-hmm. knew he had older brothers. Well, he was kind of like outnumbered, you know, with some of the other cultures. And they were kind of like, I guess you could say they were bullying. But because mm-hmm. I didn't come up in that, I couldn't really notice it or understand it. I just noticed that he was very quiet, and he wasn't, like, you know, taking up for himself. But I knew mm-hmm. that he had the ability because he had older brothers. And, you know, your brothers mm-hmm. are going to teach you how to stand. And that's just the way it goes. So I kind of watched the situation for a couple of weeks, and, you know, and I would check him out. And he wasn't too happy, but I wouldn't really go and ask him what's wrong. I just kind of, like, observed him, because deep mm-hmm. down in my heart, I knew that he could take care of it. So one day, I was just on the other side of the classroom, and I heard this rumbling going on, okay? So what mm-hmm. he was doing was taking care of what he needed to take care of. Now, you don't condone, you know, fighting or anything in your classroom with any child. But I had to stand right. back and let him finish it, because it was time for him to step forward. And I noticed that after he took that move, it wasn't a move like, okay, I'm tougher than you guys. They all became friends. So bullies get empowered from others' fear. So you're telling exactly. the bullies to reach out and listen and try. Yeah, we're hurting and we're paining, and we all express right. that pain in a different way. So you're mm-hmm. telling the bullies to reach out, and I'm telling the ones that are being bullied to stand up, but not to stand up in the same manner or the same temperament of the bully that's coming to them. And gathering for what you're saying, Gina, you're saying to go to them with love. That's all I'm hearing
yes.
here.
Yes, yeah, we definitely want to do
love.
We want to do the love thing too, because you know, cause, and then some, you know, and it's difficult. Both situations are difficult, because now you're faced with someone who's angry. You don't know why they're angry, so you're apologetic because you don't know what you did to cause it. So now I'm, because when I was in the one being bullied, you know, my mother taught me, you know, your hands is for reading and writing and working. And
that's
not
right.
to put, and your feet is for walking. So
that's
you know
right.
you don't put, you don't do use those things. You know, talk. That's what your mouth is for, talking,
that's
because
right.
that's what our ears are for, listening. But then, yes, a lot of times our voices come upon deaf ears, and when that's the case, you know, then you have to go to another mode. You know, maybe you got to write something down. You know, you still got a lot of ways before you get to the end result. Now. Based on that story, I was in the sixth grade, and I was pushed in the corner. I was challenged by one of my classmates. And we were all out at PE, and we was playing. The ball, I was the fastest runner and the furthest thrower in the class. I was the tallest as well. So, you know, that's why everybody, whenever we play, oh, my God, they're so glad I can run after the ball and we can keep playing longer. So this day I ran after the ball, and I got it, and I threw it back to the game. And I always was the one. This other girl wanted to try to run after the ball, too. And because I got to the ball first, she got mad. Oh, she ran up. She ran up behind me, Linda, and she kicked me. Called
okay.
me a name, some crazy name. I said, girl, what's wrong with you? Stop. Why'd you kick me? I got the ball. I'm sorry. I got the ball first, you know. But you know, I want us to keep. Don't you want to keep playing? No, I just want to. I couldn't throw the ball back? And everybody knew the girl didn't throw that far. So
right.
he's like, well, you know, instead of me bringing that to her attention, I'm taking her feelings into consideration. I go, well, maybe if it happens again, you know, we can do that. You can throw it to me, and then I'll throw it back or something like that, you know. But this time, I already threw it back. So, it's you know, it's a dead issue now. So I'm thinking, and I'm walking back because it was quite a far. So she socks me in my back. And see, my mother also raised me to turn the other cheek, you know, as much as you can. So she socks me in the back and she says, calls me a name and says, you stupid. I said, okay, why are you calling yourself these names? I don't know, I don't know why you say anything. I don't know that about you because you don't know me like that to call me anything. So,
right,
you know, you know, so of course, either she must have got even madder, right? Now, even in the scriptures, they turn the other cheeks, like I said,
right.
Raised old school. So that's like, you know, I'm both cheeks now and got hit. That's two hits she done got on me. Yes, I'm
okay.
Going there. So, yes, I was one of those being bullied that stood up. Because now,
okay.
I'm walking and the sun is shining. So I see her shadow. So now I'm walking, but I got my eye watching my back. Because I'm noticing she's standing. My strides are longer because I'm taller, too. So then I hear this little patter, like you about to, you know, this patter of the feet, like you about to run. You're like somebody's getting ready to kick something. Because that's the noise
right.
She made when she kicked me the first time. It was like, I don't know, watching Kung Fu on TV turned me into, you know, I went to Kung Fu. I saw that leg in the air. I swung around, caught it with one hand. It didn't even hit. I caught it. I caught that leg. Swung that leg around till she fell down. And now I'm on top of her, counseling her. I told you to leave me alone and stop hitting me. The
right,
ball is
right.
Already back to the game. What's wrong with you? I don't care about you calling me names. What's going on with you? What's wrong? What's wrong? What happened? Talk to me. I'm defending myself now. So now the class go, wait. Where's Gina and girl? They look back. And then, oh, my God. And everybody from the principal down knew I was no trouble, never had any trouble in school, never fought nothing ever.
Okay.
My teacher, everybody running, oh, my God. My teacher didn't even send me. You know, normally you send somebody with you to take and go to the office. He didn't even, he said, you're going to go to, and now her nose is busted. I felt so bad. Well, what was the interesting thing about this, Linda, was this. We go to the class, right? And, yes, we're two different races. So we'll take her to the principal's office. Now, the principal's office that particular day, Linda, was full of kids, packed. Who caught the principal's eye when he stood up in there to see who came in there to see him? I did. He said,
okay.
Gina, you in here to see me? I said, yes, sir. He goes, what? He's pushing through the kids, getting to me. Come here. What happened? I told him. Team was out playing. Our class was out playing. The ball went past the bench. I ran after it, got it, threw it back like I always do. She ran after it. I got to it first. She was mad. She kicked me, called me name. Told her to stop. Then she socked me, called me a name. Told her to leave me alone. Come on. Stop. Leave me alone. Then she went to proceed, and I had to stop her. Now here we are. Then she screamed, look at my face, because, of course, her nose, unfortunately, was bleeding. And she said, and he said, what? Did you call her a name? Yeah. Well, okay. Did you hit her? Well, look at my face. She's avoiding the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows that she hit me.
Because mm-hmm.
I never lied. I never was in any trouble. So she's like, so then she, and she's one of those scholar kids, you know, straight A's and support. You can't be kicked out of school and mess up your numbers and all that.
Right.
So the principal, Linda, asked me, Gina, what do you want to do? You want to suspend her? You want me to suspend her? I said, no, I just want her to apologize to me and promise she never ever do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
She got quiet. He says, I don't hear anything. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I want to eat more.
Okay.
All right. I'm okay. We shook hugs, you know. And he gave me the face. I'm signing this. So that's the young lady. Don't let me ever see you in here again. Talking to the girl. because then you will be suspended. This is what he tells her. So I said, thank you, principal. I get the little signed signature. Took her over to the nurse now. Now, the nurse's office was full because my mother, and like probably yours too, taught us first aid about bloody noses and how to stop them and all that.
Right.
I told her to pinch her nose, hold her head back. I got a call. I told the nurse, I said, she got a bloody nose. Give me the cold pack. I put the cold pack on the back of her neck, put it on her nose, pinch her nose back, nursing her back to health. Got her cold pack on her eyes and her nose so she wouldn't bruise up so bad. Got it all. They stopped bleeding in like about 10 minutes. Got it all cleaned up. Now, Linda, we're walking back to class. Mm-hmm. Arm in arm. We walked in that class. Everybody was shocked. Oh, my God. And from that day forward, you could not see me without seeing her.
Okay.
Every time I'm playing, she's playing, we're playing. We had open house. She introduced her family to mine, to me, and it's hopeful for everything. Because, see, I didn't want to fight her. I didn't want that at all. I never liked violence. Still to this day, I don't like violence. I don't even like to argue. Most people that know me. But I do like to come to a reasoning, a fair understanding of the situation, and also knowing that you hurt me, you know. Because, you know, sometimes people miss out on things because they want to think they're louder, so they want to blend out what you really are trying to get across to them so that that situation
won't happen
again. Well,
they choose not to hear it because
exactly.
Really at that time you're not of importance to them, which
exactly.
They don't realize that we're all connected here. And
mm-hmm.
dialogue is the key, no matter which way you go, or even with even with the smaller children. I mean, they're going to get into it. They're going to get into
exactly.
it. They fight over toys. They fight over everything. But
because they're trying to find themselves.
Yeah, they're trying to find themselves. And mm-hmm. some adults still, the reason why we have adult bullies, because they have never found themselves. And as
right,
I
or
say,
never was given a voice.
And they weren't given a voice. So with me, the word bully, when I hear it, I have to kind of like wrap my head around it. And when I, you know, witness young children or even adults being bullied or someone say, well, there, that's just a bully over there. It takes me a minute before it sets in because, as I stated, I was brought up a different way. And when you're brought up in an environment where each person does matter and that you have dialogue about it, and if you can't have dialogue about it, you get away from it because then there's something else that's going to come in there. So what you're saying is you, because of the dialogue, because you did what you had to do, you didn't retreat. You stood up and you defended yourself. But even at the end, you gave love. So with the children out here being bullied, and I hear their parents and, oh, there's some bullies at school, I kind of like don't quite understand. Well, Mom, what are you talking to your child about? Okay, so I know you don't want him beat up. I know you don't want him frightened. But I'm trying to understand, do these families and parents talk about love to their children? Or, I mean, even though I was told my dress shouldn't be torn off of me, but I still came from love, but I better take care of business. That's the way I read it. So you're not going to run, you're not going to shrimp, but, you know, you don't really want to feed into that. And as an adult to this day, when I run into that darkness and that crap, as I will say, I deal with it if I choose to. I might make a comment, but then it's not important to me because, as you said in the beginning of the conversation, that's their issue. And if we can get to our children, the youth, see, that's why I use the word stand in your greatness. When you're great, you don't feed into any of that. It doesn't even affect you. So I know that bullies are powerful. They empowered over fear. I know that all children don't have the courage and the fearfulness. We all different. They're all different. Mm-hmm. But what do you think we should kind of like perhaps maybe hold some seminars on bullying or what you know, because there's a lot going on. And I'm looking at the youth, but it goes on in the adulthood, too. You know, like you said, on jobs and with coworkers and with bosses and, you know, well, I never had that problem.
We probably put that together, get a seminar and name it Stand Up, because it's all about standing up and being accountable,
yeah.
Standing up and understanding where and why these things are occurring, because you touched on love. You see, a lot of times, I'm just giving an example in our news in the last few years. The young man that shot up all those children at that Sandy Hook school. You see,
okay,
his mother loved him, loved children too, and that's why
okay.
she loved working with those children. He had a jealous heart towards those kids.
Yes.
He had an imbalance. The father wasn't in the picture. There was a lot of things that built up, and he's now a young man, not a man, but he needs that father. He needs that direction of where to put that energy, how to get that energy
okay.
and use it in a positive manner. You see, this is what happens when we don't have that balance in the household for the male child or even the female child, too.
Right.
This can go on and endless on these situations, but this particular isolated situation, sometimes they have the love, they have the understanding, you know, just like the boys that had the rich family and was giving them anything, all electronic things and everything. They were down in the basement with guns and things,
right.
You know, the color band, you know, it's like they had those,
right.
those guns and everything down there. In Waco, those two boys, you see. And it's sad because they got the love, they got the everything, anything they wanted and needed, the parents, and you know, sometimes because they have to work two and three jobs. My mother had to work three jobs, then two jobs, then down to one job by the time I was in high school. So it was difficult, and she was a single parent. So it is difficult in different types of settings and what the child is being exposed to. But again, you know, and unfortunately, we have parents that are not aware of what signs to look for. You know, so, you know, maybe we need to get more seminars built up together to help, you know, give you some pointers, some pinpoints of things, questions that need to be asked that never is asked of our young people. And then what about these spoiled ones? You can't tell them nothing. They don't want to hear nothing because you don't have to. And if you tell them something, then the mother who spoiled them comes, or
mm-hmm.
the father or whoever who
mm-hmm.
spoiled them comes and supports them in that behavior. It's like, look, okay, so I was so glad when homeschool came in because, all right, so we can sign right here on the dotted line. Homeschool is what we're going to do here because, obviously,
okay.
this person doesn't want to get along, don't know how to play and share. You know, these are the things that we teach and participate in group settings. You know, it's not I. It's all about group setting because it's how they're going to do when they go to a job. It's not, and then even when you have your own job, you got to know how to work with the people who's working under you to
right.
give you a successful job. So, it's a whole pendulum of things involved with that formula. But see, each there's stuff in that situation, and in every situation and background situation is different. So when I came with bully, this is what I came up with, Linda. Bold. Because it takes boldness, uniqueness, love,
okay.
laughter,
okay.
and yielding. Because you put that all together, every aspect that those words play in a bully's life, their lack of the ability to yield, the lack of the desire to have laughter and love, and the uniqueness is because they think different, they move different, and
right.
and bold. Being bold is very positive. So every time I'm faced with a bully now in my adult life, you know, I applaud you for your boldness, for your strength, for your leadership ability. However, my sister or my brother, I would also award you with using all these wonderful qualities with the mindset of having empathy and understanding me. Because guess what?
Right.
I totally understand you.
Right.
So if we can get more, you know, more people involved with even on the jobs, you know, the jobs are stressful. The life is stressful. So, right. You know, even a job and placing, you know, a venting, you know, a time to vent. When you think you need to vent, you know, come on right. In this little room here. Let's talk about it. Walk it out.
Well, and venting is very important. And when you say venting, because when I was a manager at the Postal Service working those graveyard shifts, you know, people come in all sleepy and crazy and no sleep because we're starting at 11 o'clock at night. So I had crews that were, I guess you could call them bullies, but like I said, I'm southern, I'm out of Texas, and it's not going to bother me. We're going to get the job done. So your attitude is your attitude, and you can keep it, but let's do what we have to do. That was my attitude because we had to get a job done. But venting is very important, and when you mentioned that, I used to keep a pad on my desk, and I'd always greet my employees when they would come in, good morning, and with a nice smile. I was not doing that because I was stupid. I was doing that to watch the temperament, if they had sleep,
right.
If they didn't have any sleep, if they were angry. So I would know where to place them in that department because we worked around a lot of dangerous machines, and you weren't going to have an accident on me. So, but I would leave a pad on the desk. And on that pad, I say, you know what, you can write anything you want to write. You know, just write it. And what I would do was make it out of a comedy scene because they would say, we don't like your attitude, your blouse is ugly. And I would say, oh, somebody is calling me you know what that starts with that B. I say, but you know, this looks like a Nets writing. And everybody would just break up and laugh because that's the opening that I gave there until they really understood that, you know, she's all right. So I had to come out of that managerial, which I never had that attitude. It's like, we're going to push up our sleeves and get this job done. Okay,
right.
Because this badge and this clipboard does not mean anything to me. We got something to do. And the best way to get your crew to move for you is treat them human and let them know that you care about them, and they will get the job done. So
exactly.
When
yeah.
you're saying a venting room, that sounds exciting. When we talk in person, we will sit down because, you know, I always like to try to meet with people at least once a month and kind of like see where they are and see what we can do. But we're talking about making some changes here, and it needs to be done across the board. And I like the idea about standing up. I like the idea of the acclimates that you have for the meaning of bully. And it's something that we really need to talk about because this can be taken into the schools, and if not, we know how to get a room and have a seminar. You know, that's no problem for us to put that call out there, because anything that can be done to bring about awareness, anything that can be done to make a situation better, and especially anything that's being done to have the youth stand into their greatness, you know, I'm up for it. So I'll get out there and do my part to do what I have to do. But I'm so glad that you're sharing it. And one, two things that you said, you say bullies leave verbal scars and they leave physical scars. And I agree with you on that verbal and physical, because those words do stay with you, and you have to really be able to push them in the back and not let them be a trigger and keep that button covered, you know, because those are buttons that are covered. And if someone uncovers that button and push it, it might be a serious problem. So
exactly.
We have to get to the point in our lives, and as I'm speaking with you and I'm thinking of the word bully and knowing my upbringing and the area that I came up in, so you don't have no bullies in Texas. All bullies in Texas are no longer here. I can just say that because that's just the way they do it down there. And when, like I said, when you come up learning how to respect yourself first, and so therefore you're going to respect others, that I wasn't used to that, but I did attend, as you're speaking, I attended a leadership workshop, and this was an awesome workshop. And it was people there from all backgrounds and ethnicities and cultures, and we were all in there trying to make some change. And there was a young lady that was very, very angry. She was angry at herself. But, you know, like I said, I'm pleasant, so they believe in feedback, and you need to have that feedback because that makes your skin a little bit tougher. And this young lady, I guess she was maybe in her 20s or maybe early 30s, and I really didn't speak a lot in there because I was basically in there to observe, and
right.
I kind of like to remain the seat. And so she got up and called herself Read Me. And she said, well, you're judgmental and this and that. And I told her, I said, sweetheart, you need to have a dialogue with me. And so, of course, that conversation was interrupted because when they're giving you feedback, you stand there and you take it. This is all part of the process, right? But the next day, she was part of my team, and we were all on a conference call, and she was breaking down, crying and boo-hooing and talking about she don't have no courage. And I was just holding the phone listening, and I said, I know this is not the same young lady that was talking crap to me last night.
Uh-huh.
So when I saw her the following night, I walked up to her, and I said, you know what? I said, you said that you don't have courage. I said, and you said that you don't have confidence. I said, don't ever say that about yourself again. I said, because I don't think that's true. And she said, well, why would you say that? I said, you know why I'm going to tell you that? Because you stood up to me and you don't know me. I said, that takes a lot of courage for you to come at anyone that you don't know with that statement that you made. I said, that take a lot of courage. I say, so we're going to throw that a lack of courage out of your life right now, and I'm going to stand here and tell you that I think you're one of the most courageous young ladies that I've ever met. See, I use love, but I was giving a message there also. And eventually,
that's how you do it. Exactly, and that's how they turn around. You see, because when you can make sense out of nonsense, then usually that's when they're, because they're not dumb. A lot of these bullies are very intelligent. They even know what's really going on. They just like to sit back and have something to laugh at or laugh, you know, look at and laugh. It's like, that's why, and you know, you ever heard of they call PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome? A lot of that was developed behind bullies, because those situations that come back up in our life can remind you and put you back in a situation. And what's so sad about it is, unfortunately, that's why sometimes these irrational decisions are made, and people, innocent people, are getting hurt and killed. And which reminds me, Linda, the reason why I wanted to talk about relationships, because they kind of go together, because this here rolls into relationships. These type of characteristics and the importance of relationships, the reason why they exist is because this is what was implemented from the beginning of time to complete us and make us better people, is why we need and why we are driven by other people. Because every relationship, all relationships are different, but with the same result. For example, you have the most relationships start out good, most, not all, but most. However, and some of them end good, and some of them end bad. And then you have those seasonables. You have those reasons, the season, and the purpose relationship. Once that reason is fulfilled, the relationship is gone. Once that situation is dealt with in that season, the relationship is gone. Once the purpose is fulfilled, and satisfied, the relationship is ended. So these are just illustrations of different types of relationships. However, because of that trueness of that existence, married relationships struggle even harder now than ever before, because of the fact that all three of those are incorporated in a relationship, in a marital relationship. Because like I said earlier, in all relationships, all of those entities exist. And you have the good, the bad, and the ugly. You're going to get that in every situation. You know, even best friends, you know, and those relationships are important. Even siblings, those relationships are important. Parental, you and your parents' relationships, very, very important. And this is how we learn our basis. The goal is, should I say, statistically says we're supposed to learn our basis on how to get along at home. And again, you see, that's why some of those incidents that we was mentioning in bullying, see, when those things, they kind of have a problem. They have problem in other areas too in your relationships. But that's why we have things in place like self-help books. We have examples. We have a couple or friends, somebody's example that we look up to and admire and go, wow, how you guys get over those hurdles and how you guys stay married 40 and 50 years and how you, you know, can stay in love with this one person when there's so many people that are attractive.
Right.
You see, all these things that come up in relationships, they come up as challenges. They come up as hurdles. And it's all down to what you allow your heart. That heart, that is soul, it pumps blood and life through us. That makes us where you touch me. You know, when someone touches you with a kind word or touches you with a kind situation or just touches you with just setting a good example, be like, wow, you know, I really want to be like that person. I really like that characteristic about that person. I wish I could be more like that. You know, pulling, you know, looking and being more of a positive example in somebody's relationship issues or questions than that of being a negative. Because I've always felt that things can always, long as you live and learn, you can turn things around.
Oh, you can turn that poison into medicine. That's what we call
absolutely.
It. You change poison
absolutely.
Into medicine.
Absolutely. And it's important.
Does.
Relationships are very important because if you don't find that they're important, you're not going to find being able to hold on to a job, hold on to friends, hold on to communications with your family, hold on. You know, some people feel they can exist, Linda, alone, and it's so sad.
No, you can, because it takes all of us to do it. And my statement on that is you must first come within a relationship with yourself. Because
exactly.
if you don't understand the definition of relationship, you can never have one. And even though
mm-hmm.
you're going to run across different situations and different type of people that carry different type of energy with different type of problems, when you really step back and look at it, you just step back and say, well, that's another subtle bully because that person is in pain. And
mm-hmm.
who is going to, not too many people are going to tell you about their hurt. So they cover it in any way that they can. So if it's a in a relationship, no matter what type it is, and they're high, hiding or they're covering it or they don't want to
mm-hmm.
let open up, that pain is going to stay there. And that pain that they're feeling is going to project out on others. And they really,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times they're not aware of it, and then a lot of times they really don't care. Because if
exactly.
I'm hurting, darn it, you're going to hurt too. So let's just, you know,
yeah.
rock and roll here. So it really
yeah.
all goes back to self. It all goes back
mm-hmm.
to the family. It all
right.
goes back
exactly.
to the beginning. If you come up in a family that is nothing but argument, fussing
right.
and fighting,
turmoil,
and that's
mm-hmm.
all you know. If
and that's
if,
what you
if,
think
if
is love. People interpret that as love. If you ain't hitting
that
me and screaming at
love.
Me, then you don't love me.
No, that's not
and
love. That is
no,
definitely not love, and that is
not
the way
love.
It go. It's like when you get married and you say, well, do you ever talk to your ex-husband? Uh-uh, that's why he's ex, okay? Because,
right.
see, if he hadn't been in a situation to make himself ex, he would still be here. So you don't do
right.
any backtracking on that. An ex
right.
is just what it is. They're an ex because if there was love there and if there was care there, we would still be there. So I
yeah.
don't backtrack the exes. And the reason why I tell people don't backtrack the exes is because it shouldn't have been there in the beginning. I mean, people make mistakes and things of that nature. My sister has been married to my brother-in-law for over 50 years. They look
right.
alike, and that took a lot of work, okay? I mean, they look alike. They think alike. It is so funny when you see them together, and I crack them up. I said, you know what? I can't stay with nobody 50 months, and I tell them that because I like to see them laugh, right? But
see, nowadays
you
can't stay with nobody 50 good 50 days.
That's what I'm talking about. Most people can't. 50 mm-hmm. minutes sometime. It just depends. Right. But you have to be willing to put that work in it. You have to be
right.
willing to know
exactly.
yourself. See,
exactly.
breakups and misunderstandings come based off of insecurities. You know,
right.
but if there's dialogue
and
there,
ignorance.
And if there's, wait, what did you say, Gina?
I said and ignorance as well.
Oh, yeah, that too, you know, or you can only, when I go through situations or I see situations or I'm in situations,
uh-huh. right.
the first thing I do is to say a person can only demonstrate what they know. So
yeah.
right there, that eases me. Because if you
uh-huh.
don't know anything differently,
uh-huh.
that's what you're going to project out there. If you're not
right.
going into any type of arenas to make a change or to try to learn something or see something different, you're never going to know. So I love going to, I love strong, I like they're really motivational workshops, and they put little titles on them like leadership and this and that, because in order to lead, you must know all of these things. We're going back to that boss again, that, you know, getting that positive balance. Well, you cannot recognize a positive balance if you don't have a balance within yourself. And you must
right.
start with yourself first. And no
yep.
one is responsible for anything that you're going through. It's like Stephanie Haynes always say, when you point the finger and make somebody responsible for your problems, then you're giving away all your power, because you
mm-hmm.
have the power to recognize, change, and turn all of that stuff around. Now, you have to want to do it, because, you know, we all have stubborn streaks within our lives, and that comes from childhood or whatever, or hurt or pain, or what this happened before and it's going to happen again, and all that
right.
other stuff, because we really don't know how to let go, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
we're not about empowering each other when we're hurting. We're about tearing down. We're about, you
yes.
know, throwing that dark cloud there. That's why, you know, it's like when you wake up, that's why when you're waking up with Linda Mac Sheehan, I'm going to keep
mm-hmm.
you going, because everybody has an up and down. We all do. The difference
mm-hmm.
is how you go through that down to get back up again. My mother always said, you know what? So what, you fell on the football field? Look down, and do you still have the ball in your hand? Well, if you still have the ball in your hand, look up, because the goal is still down there, and I get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever there's a drop in whatever, my life, my situation, whatever, I always remember that, uh-oh,
mm-hmm.
I got football. And as long as I have this ball in my hand, and the ball is me, because
mm-hmm.
I'm the only one that's going to get to that goal,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep on running out there. Well, however we need to instill this into our young adults that have fears, and people have fears for whatever reason. Everybody's not fearless. You have to either work to get to that point, or you have to be
mm-hmm.
born with it in your blood. And if you're born with it in your I didn't hear you.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you're born with it
mm-hmm.
in your blood,
then
you don't have a problem.
Then what, like
it
you said,
well,
when we know, you said when you're born with things, or you grew up around a certain environment, like alcoholics become alcoholics and things like that, drug addicts,
yeah.
you're around it, so
yeah.
forth and so forth, how the chain goes, the usual chain of
That's
events.
Right.
So, you know, you are what you are according to your environment. So this is why,
well,
in Bible, you know, you preach, you practice what you preach.
Well,
and
yeah.
So that's what that is. That's how bullying relationships, you know,
okay.
they're both, how they tie together is because that bully rolls into and all of their relationships. And relationships
true.
Are so important. You see,
well,
it's
Gina,
so important.
I'm not going to cut you off right there, because I'm
mm-hmm.
going to take that as your last statement. Because relationships are important, and we're kind of like winding it down now. But my question
right.
is to you, and you know what I'm going to ask you, this is just part one. We're at like 5 minutes out, and I'm going to have
mm-hmm.
to like cut it short. I'm going to extend my appreciation to you. I will be speaking with you, and I'm going to tell the listeners that we're going to have part two of this. So when
but
we
I wanted
speak,
to say one thing, Linda.
Practice.
I wanted to wrap it up with saying, practice makes perfect when you know you have a weakness in whatever genre it may be in. But if it's a negative practice, you can always turn it into a positive practice, because as you practice more positivity in your life, things will change and proceed accordingly.
And I'm going to end it and say goodnight to you. What I like that statement, and the way I do, I make the definition of that is like be able to turn that poison into medicine.
Right.
Is that a good analogy? Gina G., it once again has been great. You know I love it when you come on and share. We're going to do more of this, and we will be speaking about that stand-up seminar. So I'm going to let the listeners know that we will be back on again Sunday night at 7 p.m. to 9, and that is community information and family conversation. And on that note, I'm going to tell you thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a lovely evening, and I will be speaking with you before the weekend is out.
Thank you again for having me. It was
all righty. Gina G, take care, and I will be contacting you over the weekend. Keep it up. Stand up. All right? Practice positivity and not negativity. We're going to turn this poison into medicine. And that's our last statement on Waking Up with Linda McShann on Thursday evening, July 10th, 2014. And we're going to come back with part B of this, okay? We'll do that next week. So let's keep it rolling. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Around the sun, the earth now it seems revolving, and the rosebuds know the bloom in early May. If hate knows love the cure, you can rest your mind sure that I'll be loving you always. Now I can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing we'll grow older every day. All that's born is new. You know what I say is true, that I'll be loving you always.
Until the rainbow burns and starts running the sky.
Always.
Until the ocean covers every mountain high.
Always.
Until the dolphin flies and everything at sea.
Always.
Until the moon rises and life becomes a sea.
Did you know the truth? Another day, just as time knew to move on since the beginning, and the seasons know exactly when to change. Just as kindness knows no shame, no before your joy and pain, and I'll be loving you always. And today I know I'm living, but tomorrow could make me the path for that I fear. For I'll know deep in my mind the love of me I left behind. 'Cause I'll